The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
In my mind, yep. There's no question that those states were, in effect, stolen. That doesn't make the national media happy. But I think as a historian, people are going to find it's absolutely true.
Well, there you have it. That's the former House Speaker, Newt Gingrich, on one of the Sunday shows yesterday, saying that the election was stolen. The 2020 presidential election was stolen. And really, the only problem with that interview is then Maria Bartiromo went on to another subject right after he said that the free and fair election, supposedly, of the United States of America, the world's lone superpower, the leader of the free world, that the election was fraudulent. What he's saying right there is that we have a fake president in office right now. He's saying that the Biden administration is illegitimate. That's right. And, well, he was certainly a pretty strong voice in support of President Trump following the fraud on November 3rd. But a lot has happened since then, and we'll get to some of that in just a bit. But there's Newt Gingrich basically saying what we've said all along, what we've been saying since January the 20th, since the fake inauguration. The United States has had a fake president. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. You can get to our live stream, of course, every day at thetrumpet.com website, thetrumpet.com/live. And, of course, it was a big bash this weekend with graduation here on campus and lots of visitors in town, lots of Trumpet Daily listeners and viewers. And lots of fans of the 7 a.m. time slot from more than a week ago, and some also of the new time at 11. It's a little bit of a mixed bag. People have their daily preferences. In some cases, it's hard to break out of old habits. But hopefully with some of you, those of you at least that like to listen to the program live, hopefully you're breaking out of the 7 a.m. habit and enjoying the 11 a.m. habit. Here in the central part of the United States of America. Of course, it's live all over the world, so wherever your time zone is, you can get to the live show. If you don't watch the program live, of course, you can get it downloaded to your devices. You can watch the podcast or a video replay of the show at our website, thetrumpet.com. So the needle is slowly but surely moving in the direction of rampant voter fraud, at least in the sense of more and more prominent commentators coming right out and saying it. Coming right out, like you heard yesterday from Newt Gingrich. I think it's interesting. I had the crew looking for some quotes from mid to late January, you know, the tone and how he talked about the voter fraud, the vote steal or the election steal. Because he was upset in that first week after November 3rd, Newt Gingrich was upset. He saw it as obvious. It was an obvious theft. And really, he was strongly, he was out exposing what the Democrats were doing in November, in December. But once January 6th hits, then the media, it just shows the power of the propaganda media. As they, in many ways, set up the narrative from the very beginning with the help of Antifa. And then, of course, you do have tens of thousands of Trump supporters turning out for that rally in Washington, D.C. And then the president himself saying, go and peacefully protest. And all of this, the so-called armed insurrection, it's meant to obscure the really big news of that day, January the 6th. When you had senators, several of them, I forget how many in total, But you had senators that were going to get up and contest the election. The House had already done it. So I can't remember how far back you have to go in the presidential election process, how many years back you have to go to get to something as we covered it, I think, back at the time. But in any event, this was a momentous event that the presidential election, senators were going to get up and demand that the evidence be examined. And after the so-called armed insurrection, you had Republican senators backing away from that day, as if the details, as if the evidence, as if the facts had suddenly changed because of a protest that was out of control, because of a protest where the police officers just stepped aside and said, yeah, come on in, come on in. Now, there were elements for sure that were pushing over barriers and smashing in windows. There were also instances of Trump supporters that were stopping violence from happening. Some strange events. And now, of course, we know that the entirety of that narrative, it's just fallen apart. Officer Sicknick, how he died and so on. The fact that no weapons were confiscated. None! Not one! Only one shot fired from a handgun that day, and that was from the police officer who killed Ashley Babbitt. So the narrative just comes crashing down, and people forget about the significance of that day before the out-of-control protest. It was that these senators were going to contest the election. Now, as to whether they were going to overturn it or not, it doesn't seem like that Vice President Pence was prepared to really stand up and to defend Donald Trump and to defend election integrity. So many, as I've covered on this show, so many weak Republicans, so many Republicans that are just so easily intimidated into silence, including many prominent commentators following the January 6th lie. They all had to get up and denounce it. Gingrich was one of them. He got up and said, every single one of them needs to be in jail. It's embarrassing what happened to the Capitol. And so many of these commentators, not Gingrich, but so many others in the propaganda media, they were out there defending the riotous activity and behavior from all of last year. We needed the riots to bring about change, but not in the case of January the 6th. No, this was a riotous armed insurrection. They were trying to take over the government of the United States. Listen to Gingrich again from his interview yesterday, clip one.
Your reaction to now three states coming up with new rules around voting.
Well, I think we learned in 2020 and earlier that we have elections that are too easy to steal. And there are two, for example, you can actually buy an official Georgia presidential ballot on eBay. And you can also buy a number of other states. So when they tell you they were controlling the ballots, it's just not true. This was a very open system. It was a system where people could cheat and did.
They could cheat and they did do it. They did cheat. They did cheat, says Gingrich. President Trump, for his part, yesterday he tweeted this out. Yesterday was Mother's Day. He sent out a happy Mother's Day to all. And he said, we're going to come back bigger and better and stronger than ever before. Don't worry. He still seems pretty positive and optimistic. But then he said this. So now even our Kentucky Derby winner is a junkie. I guess this horse tested positive for drugs. So even the horse is a junkie. They're cheating. There's cheating all over the place. If you can get away with it, just do it. Cheat, steal, lie, deceive. That all originates in the spirit projected by the devil, the father of lies, John 8:44. He's the god of this world. I got into that yesterday. At the commencement, during the Armstrong College graduation ceremony, we have time, we'll play through some of that or all of that. We'll see. But the president said, even the Kentucky Derby winner is a junkie. It says, this is emblematic of what is happening to our country. The whole world is laughing at us. It's laughing at us as we go to bleep on the borders, our fake presidential election, and everywhere else. Borders wide open, as porous as ever. The fake presidential election, or the steal, and everything else, the world is watching, says Donald Trump. And he's right. He's right. They're looking at this and saying, wow, is the fake Biden administration really going to be able to pull this off? Listen to one more clip from Gingrich yesterday, clip two.
In a number of states, the Republicans were just plain out lawyered. The other side did a better job. They set the rules of the game. The rules of the game were designed to do exactly what he said. Figure out how many votes the Republicans have and then hold the ballots open until you can get enough votes to beat them.
Just to hold it on long enough and then go find the votes. You can always find the votes to beat him. Now, as I submit to you, I think the tone is beginning to change. And the reason for that is because more and more evidence is being examined. Finally, they're looking at evidence in Maricopa County. They're examining evidence in Windham, New Hampshire. They're examining evidence in Antrim County in Michigan. I'll come to that in just a second. And here comes Newt Gingrich yesterday saying that historians are going to look back on this and say, yeah, it was a steal. They stole it. Even the fact that Liz Cheney is about to be ousted from her prominent position in the House. She's a Republican in name only, and she's out there saying Donald Trump lost, and she wants the Trump support to go away. She wants the old establishment Republican Party back, and she's about to be ousted. I suppose there's many reasons why. Some would say the impeachment vote and so on. But a lot of it gets back to January the 6th, and not the so-called insurrection, the election, contesting the election. She doesn't want to do it. She doesn't want the evidence examined. She wants Donald Trump to go away. And as it turns out, she's going away. So what does that tell you about the majority sentiment, not just in the Republican Party, in the United States of America? Yes, the tone is beginning to change. Even Adam Kinzinger, he's in the Cheney camp. He's another rhino who hates Donald Trump, a never Trumper in the Republican Party. Listen to what he said about Liz Cheney just yesterday as well. Clip five.
So Liz Cheney is saying exactly what Kevin McCarthy said the day of the insurrection.
Excuse me. The thing is, he's right about that. He's right. Liz Cheney's just saying what they were all saying on January the 6th, because they all had to back away from election fraud. They all had to comment on what the media was saying about the protest gone awry. Oh, it's an insurrection. This is an attack on the seat of democracy. That so many people died. There was a stampede. All of these police officers died as a result of it. It was armed. They had weapons. They were spraying poisonous, toxic materials all over the crowd, all over the police officers. They were bashing in their heads with fire extinguishers. And so these Republicans, like Kevin McCarthy and others, they had to get up and denounce what happened on January the 6th. And then they backed way away from the whole point of what was to happen on that day in the first place. Senators, several of them, six, seven, eight of them, I think it was, standing up to contest the results of the November 3rd election, standing up to say the evidence should be examined. And so Kinzinger, he's pointing out that, look, Cheney's just saying what everyone was saying early on. And he's right. But what about some of these Republicans who are now coming around and saying, you know what, it was stolen. And historians are going to acknowledge as much in the years to come. That's what Gingrich was saying yesterday. He was saying that Joe Biden is a fake president. That's right. Listen to what Kinzinger says our focus should be on. This is clip six.
We're 4 months after January 6th, an insurrection, something that was unthinkable in this country. And the message from the people that want to get rid of Liz Cheney is to say, it's just time to focus on the future and move on. Like this was 10 years ago and we've been obsessed about it since. It's been 4 months and we have so many people, including our leadership in the party, that has not admitted that this is what it is, which was an insurrection led by the president of the United States, well deserving of a full accounting from Republicans.
That's the CNN narrative. Kinzinger, the Republican, in name only, he's right on board with CNN and what Brian Stelter and others are saying, that this was an insurrection led by the president of the United States. I guess it was an insurrection against, he was the sitting president on January 6th, right? I guess it was an insurrection against his own government. Who exactly is guilty of insurrection? Who are the real insurrectionists? This is from the dictionary definition. Insurrection, defined, an insurrectionist, an act or instance of rising in revolt, rebellion, or resistance against civil authority or an established government. Who exactly rose up to try to take down an established government through rampant voter fraud? That's what some of those senators were going to Congress on January the 6th to say. This needs to be examined. The evidence needs to be looked at. And yet here is Adam Kinzinger saying that, look, our focus should be on that, not on Liz Cheney and removing her from her position. The focus should be on the armed insurrection from January the 6th. He says there needs to be a full accounting. I guess there needs to be more investigations. And as I say, he's in lockstep with CNN. Here's Brian Stelter from yesterday, clip seven.
And Dan, also, this makes the case for an independent 1/6 commission, which Cheney talked about in her piece for the Washington Post this week. Having a commission, having a fact-finding expedition helps keep memories alive. Is that fair to say?
So they want this commission to come along 4 months on now. I mean, hundreds of people. It's the biggest DOJ investigation in the history of the DOJ, okay? All these people rotting away in jail, some of them in solitary confinement for 23 hours of the day, okay? People who trespassed. They're in solitary confinement. Some of them still waiting for their day in court. And there's CNN. There's Brian Stelter saying, we need more. We need a commission. And why do we need it? He says, to help keep the memory alive. In other words, the narrative has fallen apart. The narrative has been destroyed. So we need something, somehow, to keep this narrative, to prop this narrative back up. If we can do that, then maybe we can take away any attention that's coming in on Maricopa County or New Hampshire or Michigan. This really does expose what they had in mind from the very beginning, from the start of the day on January the 6th. You wonder how many of them knew, those in the propaganda media press, you wonder how many of them knew about the chatter in Antifa that they were going to go and infiltrate, that they were going to go and cause trouble, that they were going to go and stir up violence. Surely there were a few Trump supporters that reacted violently once that protest spun out of control. But as I've said so many times on this program, the facts are that there were no weapons. The facts are that no one died, except for the lady that was shot by the police officer. The facts are that there were riots on a scale that were 10, 20 times, 30 times worse just 6 months ago. Six, 7 months ago. And so the media, they latched onto this. They had to. They had to because they don't want to be exposed for their obvious election fraud. And so here comes Brian Stelter, and he's got the support of a few rhino Republicans who were there saying, look, the focus needs to be on the armed insurrection. We've got to stir up those memories. We've got to be reminded of it. People are forgetting. Or these evil, evil conservative voices are saying, you know what? It really wasn't an armed insurrection. The police officer really wasn't murdered. So many lies. Who, as I say, who are the real insurrectionists? Who are the ones actually guilty of an insurrection, of trying to overthrow a government of the United States, a sitting president? This is from the recount in Maricopa County. Listen to what this is the former Arizona Secretary of State, Ken Bennett, and he's explaining here. This is just from a few days ago. I think it was Friday, perhaps. But he was explaining how that the county election officials have admitted that they didn't control the ballot counting machines. So they're going through this forensic audit. And now here we are months. What are we, 6 months after the election? And these county election officials are having to admit, yeah, we didn't control the machines. You didn't control the machines. And so the propaganda media, they're lining up to interview this guy, right? Wrong. Wrong. It's OAN. It's One America News Network. And listen to this exchange between this former Arizona Secretary of State and the OAN reporter, clip 8.
Sir, I understand there's been some development with the password and learning that maybe Maricopa County doesn't actually have control of the password. What can you tell me?
Well, they've given us some preliminary passwords that our IT company used to get into the machines, but then they ran into a second password that is required to get into the administrative functions of the ballot image scanners that are used out in the polling locations. They're called ICPs in the Dominion system, but Maricopa County has now responded that they don't have that second password to get into the administrative functions of the machines, that only Dominion has that, which is kind of stunning to us that Maricopa County doesn't have complete access to those election machines.
That's astonishing. Is it accurate to say, because from what you're telling me, it sounds like Dominion, a private company, actually has more control over the election than the county supervisors. Is that accurate?
That's what it sounds like to me, so yes.
There you go. It's a stunning admission. He says, even the reporters, I'm just astonished. You mean this private company? Is Dominion even a U.S. company? I think isn't their headquarters in Toronto? And then you have all those, everything that Rudy Giuliani and others, Jenna Ellis, were trying to bring to everyone's attention. In fact, I mean, there was a lot that they did that has stuck. That was not a wasted effort in November and December. We'll come to that in just a second. What Giuliani was doing, going to those state legislatures, the Republicans, and presenting the evidence and bringing the witnesses forward. And remember back in November, all of those voices saying, look, we've given too much control to Dominion. Who is Dominion? You would think the propaganda press would be beating down the doors of Dominion, saying, what are these reports coming out of Maricopa County? Are they accurate? Is this true? You had a couple of guys that were in control, and even the election officials did not control the machines. Remember what we were told? The machines, they're supposedly they were standalone. They were just given to the state officials. They certainly weren't connected to routers or the internet or anything like that. All of that lies. And now we come to find out that the state election officials didn't even have control of these machines. And there's an OAN reporter. It has to be OAN because CNN doesn't care about this. It was the most perfect election in history. So it's OAN saying, this is astonishing to me. It sounds like Dominion has more control over the election than the county supervisors. And there's the former Arizona Secretary of State saying, yeah, you're right. You're right. Dominion had the control. This is from Election Whiz on the census. And just some numbers statistical anomalies, going back to the election from last year. It says, according to the census, the recorded number of people voting in 2020 was tallied at 154,628,000. This is nationwide. And it'll get to the point here in just a second. It says, on the other hand, official results place the number of actual ballots cast slightly north of 158 million. That's a discrepancy of nearly 4 million votes. Okay, and the significance of this? It says, speaking to pollster Richard Barris during an episode of Inside the Numbers, lawyer Robert Barnes said, historically, the census tends to pin on the nose the recorded vote numbers with the actual results. In other words, often the two data sets reasonably match, but not this time. Not this time. Oh, no. We've got a 3.5-4 million discrepancy in the count. Why is that? Well, this article goes on to say that it takes you back over the last few elections, and it goes back far enough to when there were discrepancies. But it says that when there are discrepancies that run into the millions, it's usually that the census over-recorded the election numbers. In this case, they under-recorded it. In other words, the census said this many million. What was it? 154 million. But the official tally amounted to 4 million more. 4 million more. Phantom ballots. 4 million more just showed up. From where? Well, that raises some questions, does it not? So here is this former Arizona Secretary of State. He's commenting to an OAN reporter because no other reporters are even interested in the story. And he's making one of the same points that one of the many, many witnesses that Rudy Giuliani ushered before those state Republicans, the hearing before the Arizona Republicans was way back in November 30th, 2020. And listen to what this witness, this was a businesswoman who had never volunteered to be an observer. But she observed the election process there in Maricopa County. And listen to her testimony from November 30th, 2020. This is clip 11.
Everybody raves about how well run and how tight this room is that we were working in. I was in the tabulation center, you know, the glass and the servers in a glass room, and all the computers are on a single cable that you can see. None of that matters because two things. One, Dominion employees were the only ones that were running any of that equipment. So I was in the tabulation center six different days, day and night shifts, and no county employees, no IT people, no one else was touching any of the software. They did all the training for the adjudicators. They ran all the reports. And so, and I brought that up on my very first day in the room. I said, this doesn't seem right. As a person with my background, never in a million years would I turn my company's most important thing over to someone else. And there's only two guys, and they had the whole control of everything.
They controlled everything, she says. She's a businesswoman herself. She says, never in a million years would I just turn my business over to some company with all these dealings internationally and just say, hey, here you go. Just take it over. You want to send over two guys to control it? Fine. Just take it over. You got your own passwords? That's no problem. Do what you want. Can you imagine running a business like this? And yet that's how the election operated in Maricopa County. That's how it operated in the heart of Georgia. Oh, yes, New Hampshire, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. That should have set off alarm bells right there. Well, there is a trail of evidence, and it's now being exposed in some of that fighting in November. Giuliani's fight for the truth is finally beginning to pay off, and you're starting to see a change in tone, as I say. Newt Gingrich, he's pretty influential. He's on Fox all the time. He's one of the Fox superstar guests. And he's there yesterday saying it was stolen. It was stolen. If only a reporter on Fox or wherever would then say, well, then what must we do? What can we do to correct this obvious fraud? Too many of them are just too quick to move on to the next line of questions. You mean to tell me the United States presidential election from just last year was stolen? Right out in the light of day, in broad daylight, really? Well, I mean, the ballot dumps happened in the dark of night. But you get what I mean. They were all in on it. They were all in on it. Even the tone at Fox News. Fox News, they really backed off on the election fraud. January 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, all through the end of January. Well, we've got to embrace the fake inauguration. We've got to make sure that the inauguration is secure. We've got to send in the National Guard. I mean, we've got to do this because it was so violent on January the 6th. So people thought nothing, in the propaganda media anyway, they thought nothing of just having an army, basically, turning Washington, D.C. into an armed camp. And now even Fox News, certainly when you listen to Maria Bartiromo or some of the guests like Newt Gingrich, it's beginning to be exposed. This is from Gateway Pundit from a few days ago. It says here, attorney Matthew DiPerno filed his latest finding in the circuit court for Antrim County on Friday. This is in Michigan now. Michigan, it says, according to DiPerno, there were 1,061 phantom ballots found in Antrim County. Just one little county. It's not even heavily populated. 1,061 phantom ballots. He has the proof. He's going to court today, this attorney. Found in Antrim County during the 2020 election, attorney DiPerno also contends there were nearly 100% turnout between ages 65 and 80 in the county despite the threat of the coronavirus. So all the elderly turned out, 100% of the elderly turned out to vote in Antrim County. This is from his own Twitter feed. DiPerno said, new discoveries and filings today, 1,061 phantom ballots, 100% turnout between 65 and 80, and 20.3% of all ballots sent to post office boxes. Seems like there's quite a lot of phantom voters just in the one county of Michigan. It says DiPerno explains that in the December hand recount of Antrim County, there was a total of 15,952 ballots counted. However, Secretary of State Benson's official database had only 14,901 ballots, which means there exist 1,061 extra ballots not on the voter rolls. This is in Michigan. This is in one county in Michigan. We talked last week about all the irregularities in Windom City, New Hampshire. Tiny little city. And if that's happening in small counties, what about Detroit? What about Ann Arbor? What about some of the bigger cities? It says phantom ballots could explain what happened at the hand recount in December when volunteers were told to count approximately 138 ballots with the very same signature. 138 ballots with the same signature? And these people that were doing that protested, and then the election official said, look, just count them. That's the mentality. Well, look, we've got 138. They've all got the same signature. Just count the ballots. Every vote counts. They intimidate you into submission. And there's precious few willing to stand up and fight against it. But there are more that are beginning to demonstrate some courage. This is from Fox 2 in Detroit. Says Michigan GOP senators are requesting an election audit, citing anomalies like the documented Antrim County ballot processing problem and numerous allegations of state election discrepancies. So the Republicans in the state legislature, they're taking note of what's happening in Antrim and saying, we need to look into this. We're calling for a full audit. We want something similar to what they're doing in Maricopa County. It says in a letter to Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, of course she's not going to be on board with this, but leave that aside. It says the two are urging her for an official audit before the state board canvassers certify the 2020 general election results. It says every citizen deserves to have faith in the integrity of the election process and its outcome, wrote these two senators. It's our responsibility as elected public servants to assure the people of Michigan of the process's integrity throughout, through complete transparency and the faithful investigation of any allegations of wrongdoing, fraud, or abuse. The perfect election, said Chris Krebs. Really? It says here, in Antrim County, a glitch caused thousands of ballots to be wrongly counted for the opposing candidate. Antrim is one of 47 counties in the state to use Dominion voting systems. Well, here comes Dominion. And then you have that story that I read a moment ago from ElectionWiz, just comparing the census to the official election tally. All of these phantom ballots that showed up nationwide, 3.5-4 million. And people are just supposed to turn and walk away from this and embrace a fake illegitimate president, a president who cheated, a president who he hid in his basement during the whole campaign, and then relied upon those in his administration or his campaign to rig the system, to cheat, so that he could get in there illegally. Who are the real insurrectionists? When we come back, we have a report from Jerusalem taped just today. There's quite a bit of violence over there yesterday through to today. And you see this all over the world. It's easy to just get preoccupied with, in the U.S. news cycle with Liz Cheney or Kinzinger or President Trump's tweets or fake President Biden stumbling his way through a speech or whatever. But the world... This is a world in turmoil. This is a world that's about to explode. And as you know, if you know anything about Bible prophecy, Jerusalem is the powder keg. And so when we come back, we'll take you through a Melanie Phillips piece and also send you to Jerusalem with our Jerusalem correspondent, Brent Noctegal. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program, you could submit some feedback to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The Correspondence Course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Now, today is Jerusalem Day, and typically there would be Israeli flags absolutely everywhere, massive celebrations, but instead, throughout the city, or at least on the eastern side, there is violence. Now, earlier this morning, it was already obvious that the Arabs were itching for a fight when photos emerged of rocks and stones that were prepared ahead of time on the Temple Mount. Now, Jews typically are allowed on the Temple Mount, their holiest site, today. But the Israeli government has decided to ban Jews from accessing the site as to not exacerbate tensions. But what we see of the violence today and how it started is when Arabs this morning attacked the Maghrabi Gate, which is the entrance just below me to the Temple Mount from the Western Wall, and then police responded to that violence. Now, all the chaos that has happened, police have tried to restore calm. Throughout the day, there has been increased fighting on and off. Hundreds have been injured. Just before midday, there was an attempted lynching of a Jew that was driving on the Ofel Road, which is just on the other side of the Temple Mount, basically behind the Gold Dome on the other side of the Temple Mount. His car was smashed up by Arabs, beating his car with stones and rocks. And as he tried to escape, he actually ran into one of those Arabs that was attacking his car. Now, after which, his car continued to be pelted with rocks, and then a lone policeman stepped in to save the man. Now, today, this violence is increasing and has been increasing from the build-up through Ramadan. Now, mainly there's youth, Arab youth, that are coming onto the Temple Mount. They're not coming to pray. They are coming to fight. Now, flags of the terrorist group Hamas have been seen everywhere on the Temple Mount. Actually, right now, there's the green flag of Hamas on the top of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And this is the terrorist group that all the time actively talks about the destruction of the Jewish state.
So there's our Jerusalem correspondent, Brent Nachtigall, who works to produce content on a daily basis, oftentimes, for our sister website, Watch Jerusalem. watchjerusalem.co.il. That's the Israeli URL address. So go to Watch Jerusalem if you haven't in a while, and you can see he's got there a video, I think a podcast he just did yesterday, Obama's third term supporting an Arab takeover of East Jerusalem. Obama, we'll hear a little bit more on Obama's third term if we have time here in this final segment. We'll have to get to some of the commencement material tomorrow, I guess. But Brent has this this podcast. He's got an article up there now, Watch Jerusalem Now, with the very, very latest. But you're hearing there in that clip that we just played, you're hearing what's been happening over the weekend and on through to today. And it's all being framed by the propaganda media as something that is just a dispute, a land dispute, evictions of Palestinian residents in some eastern Jerusalem neighborhood. And yet, as Brent brings out and as Melanie Phillips pointed out in a column today as well, they're not telling you the whole story. The hatred for Israel, the spirit to blot out Israel, as I've covered so much with respect to the election fraud and what's happening in Manasseh. I mean, it's so strong. And they just pick a tiny, tiny, tiny little picture or piece of it that they want you to focus in on. And they lie. They lie by omission. They lie, in some cases, blatantly to our faces. Israel is always to blame. Here's what Melanie Phillips says. In Britain and America, this is being mostly reported as Palestinian resistance to Israeli attempts to evict some 70 Palestinian Arabs from the contentious East Jerusalem neighborhood. So that's how, as I say, they're framing it. It says this media narrative is wickedly selective, twisted, and misleading. We're used to this, aren't we? It's a good way of putting it. It's wickedly selective. It's misleading. They are twisting the facts. She says here, the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which is currently in progress, is always a time of heightened tension. This has been deliberately stoked up this year through Palestinian incitement to violence, a situation exacerbated in turn by militant Jewish nationalists, and with the fuel to this and with the fuel to this murderous Arab fire supplied by none other than the White House, the fake Biden administration. So you have the Palestinian leadership inciting violence. And then the corrupt Western media are there to say, you know, the violence is justified. Just like with the protests, the riots last summer, it's justified. If it's left-wing violence that kills people and destroys businesses and burns cities, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, we have to do that to get change. And it's the same with this. The same mentality. If these Arabs want to destroy the city or kill people, that's okay. It has to happen. They're being oppressed. The whole system is rigged against them. So we've got to justify that. And then you have the fake administration. How much damage is this administration, this fraudulent, illegitimate administration causing? Look at what it's caused in just a little over 100 days in the White House. This is the side of the story that the corrupt media won't tell you about. Says the disorder started at the beginning of Ramadan with the unprovoked Arab attacks on random Jews in Jerusalem streets and on its light rail. That's how it started. And, you know, Jews will fight back when they are under attack. And in their case, they generally have the support of law enforcement and the military and so on. It's a little different than the United States. It says here, few of these facts have made it into the Western media. What has also been omitted is the real cause of the Arab violence, the incitement by the Palestinian Authority and Hamas. So as always, there's this power struggle between Abbas and his Fatah faction and then Hamas as well. The terrorist organization that's even more violent than Fatah. So Abbas wants to hold on to power. He's been in there for ages. He wants to grab hold of and keep hold of power. And so he knows that when he incites violence, it helps him. It helps to swing more Hamas support into his camp. So they don't tell you that side of the story. The fact that they're on with their Palestinian TV stations and such, encouraging young people to go out and riot. Just like the radical left did last year. All last year. Yeah, take to the streets. And when the city start burning, we'll just have our propaganda media say it's mostly peaceful. It's a wonderful thing. This is beautiful. The change that we're seeing. Melanie Phillips says, there's another factor, though, which is perhaps the most significant of all in provoking this violence. It says, this is the signal that has been sent to the Palestinian Arabs by the administration of the U.S. president, we should say fake president, Joe Biden. The Biden White House. Listen to this from, this was one more statement that Newt Gingrich made about the radical left today, clip four.
The really left wing of the Democratic Party now is so much more radical than it was even under Obama. That this thing has been metastasizing almost like a cancer, and that what they think is normal, 85% of the American people think is crazy.
So much more radical than even under Obama. But the thing of it is, this is Obama. This is Obama's third term. You have commentators that are now acknowledging openly that he's just the puppet, Joe Biden. He's fake. The power behind him, that would come from Barack Obama. Listen to Jen Psaki. This was last week as she's asked by a reporter about this growing perception that this is, in fact, Obama's third term. This is clip 10.
Given the number of former Obama administration officials that are now in this Biden administration and the president's relatively light schedule, there's a growing perception that this is really just the third term of President Obama. What do you say to people who say that?
Who were saying that? Who's saying that?
You hear that a lot in the media.
Who in the media?
Different people. Like.
And so back and forth they go like a good tennis match. Oh, who's saying that? Who's saying, who, what? I don't hear that. No, it's pretty obvious. Listen to Jesse Waters from his show on Saturday night, clip 9.
Who's really running the Biden administration? Not Joe. It's his puppet masters. just over 100 days in, and we know Joe likes to keep a low profile, that's for sure. He doesn't hold a lot of events. He's in bed pretty early each night, and he likes to avoid answering questions. Maybe this is why.
Folks in India. Well,
I'm sorry, I'm going to, this last question I'll take, and I'm really going to be in trouble.
I'm really going to be in trouble, he said. We played that clip for you last week. He's not supposed to do that. And Jen Psaki, she has acknowledged this. Yeah, we tell him not to answer questions. They want to keep him hidden. Just come out, make the token appearance occasionally so that we can all continue to play along with this fake illegitimate presidency. But for the most part, it's fine. Low profile it. That's how you campaigned, and it worked well then. So Melanie Phillips says that the Biden White House is also behind this incitement of violence. Surprise, surprise. She says, during the administration of former U.S. President Donald Trump, Palestinian violence declined as a result of Trump's refusal to pander to Palestinian blackmail. Not only did Trump move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, he empowered a rapprochement between the Gulf states and Israel, which left the Palestinian cause abandoned. He also cut funding to the Palestinian Authority as a consequence of its continued incitement and support of terrorism against Israeli Jews. He went in there and he showed some real authority, in other words. He projected some power into the region coming from the United States. I'm telling you, I'm not going to pander to you anymore. I'm going to withdraw your funding. And guess what happened? The Palestinians were more cooperative. There was less violence during the Trump years. Not so today. It says the Biden administration, which is stuffed full of officials with a baleful record of hostility to Israel, and we could add to that, full of officials who used to work for Obama. It's just full of former Obama people. Melanie Phillips says this U.S. shift in support effectively gave a green light to Palestinian Arabs to renew their murderous onslaught against the Jews of Israel. It's like they're the soldiers of the radical left, just like Antifa and BLM. This was their green light. This was the signal to renew the fight, to renew the war against Israel. It says, and so what's been the response by the Biden administration and the EU and various European states to this coordinated campaign of incitement, murder, and other attacks on Israeli Jews? It says, far from condemning these Palestinian aggressors and inciters, the EU and US have instead condemned their victim, Israel. Surprise, surprise. And who's behind this? This effort to blot out even the name of Israel? Well, that would be Satan the devil. It's bitter affliction indeed. She says here finally, but hey, the Bidenites, EU states, and Western liberals promote the Holocaust-denying Jew-hater Mahmoud Abbas as a statesman, declare that his terrorism-supporting, Jew-demonizing, Israel-exterminating Palestinian Authority deserves to run a state. Give it the funds which enable it to continue its incitement and support for terrorism. Require Israel to compromise its security to facilitate the creation of an entity which aims to destroy it. Parrot the false narrative of Israeli illegality while conniving at the Palestinians' attempt to hijack both international law and Jewish history and label murderous Palestinian attacks on Jews as resistance. We got to resist. We got to resist. It says, and then they have the sheer gall to urge a return to calm. They are themselves accessories to evil. That's Melanie Phillips with a bit of a truth bomb on the violence that has exploded in Jerusalem over the last couple of days. Don't forget to visit our Jerusalem website, Watch Jerusalem, and that's produced, as I say, most of it. We certainly help some from this campus too, but that's produced in Israel. And if you haven't gotten to Brent Nachtigall's report, straight from the old city of Jerusalem, recorded just today, make sure that you visit watchjerusalem.co.org. IL. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to submit some feedback. You can write us at td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.